I invite you to be seated. So if you're looking to start a business, there's one that I found that I think you could find very lucrative, and all you would need is a garage and a padlock to start out. And I think you know what I'm talking about. It's the self-storage industry. And listen to some of these things I found out, these stats that were just done in the year 2020, which is only a couple years ago. It says that the self-storage industry rakes in $39.5 billion per year. And this is just in the USA. There are around 50,000 facilities around America that you can store your stuff. And the average cost that people pay to store their stuff in these facilities is $88.85 a month. One news headline that I saw in regards to the self-storage industry, it said 1 in 11 Americans pays for space to store the material overflow of the American dream. You know, none of this considers, if we don't have a storage unit, those of us who have our garages packed to the gill and you can't park in your garage, I being one of them, or our closets are busting at the seams because we don't have enough closet space. Does anybody have that problem with their clothes? You kind of get pushed out by your wife's stuff. I actually counted up the amount of t-shirts, just regular t-shirts you can wear, you know, in my closet. I had 39 t-shirts, and I only wear around 10 of them. What am I doing with all these t-shirts? The point of sharing all of this isn't to make you feel guilty if you have a storage unit, or if your garage is packed to the gills, or your closet is packed so full you don't have any more room for your clothes. It's not to make you feel guilty. It's a problem that has been going on for all times, all ages, and it's what our text is about today when Jesus is confronted with that. So let's take a look at this. And as I read through this, I'm going to read through the whole text at once, ponder this and process what is going on here in this text. So it's in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Wow, Jesus is laying it down here. And so I always like to ask myself when I read these kinds of texts, why did Jesus tell this parable? Well, if you remember way at the beginning, a guy asks him to decide a dispute that he's having with his brother over an inheritance. It's a good thing this stuff doesn't go on nowadays. It's funny because at this time in Jesus' ministry, people have heard about him and know that he's different. There's something going on with this guy. He seems to be pretty knowledgeable and higher than other rabbis. So people would ask him these kinds of questions. So this guy asks him a question, can you decide this dispute between me and my brother over money? Now, we don't even have to read any further past that. Do you think Jesus is going to like this question? Of course not. But he teaches us some things here because of this question that he got asked. And you know, if you want to win an argument about money, it's always good to play the Jesus card. Jesus will side with me. So, breaking this down, this parable and this text here, Jesus tells us three things. There's three things that he warns us about in this text that we need to be, he says, take guard. Be on guard. Warn yourself about what's going on. And the first one is covetousness. He says it right away. Be aware. So what is coveting? In our 9th and 10th commandments, we get what coveting is. We're told not to do it. Because coveting can lead to all kinds of other sins. So coveting is wanting something so bad that you're willing to sin for it, to get it. So in other words, a great example from the Bible about this is the event of David and Bathsheba. Remember, David was already married. He's king of Israel. And he sees Bathsheba. He likes the way she looks, and he wants her for himself. In fact, he wanted her so bad that he committed adultery to get it. He ended up having her husband killed so that he could have her. That's an extreme example of coveting. So in other words, if you have a friend or a neighbor or a family member that has something, they bought the newest car, the newest phone, and you're like, man, I wish it was mine and not his. He doesn't deserve that. This is coveting. And we're told not to do it. The commandment is very clear. Don't covet your neighbor or his stuff. The second thing is greed. We all know about greed. This is just the thing that can tear at us where we want more. We get a taste of something and we want more and more and more of it, like money or getting promoted in our jobs or this, collecting this or that. We just want more and more and more. And it consumes our life. Be on guard against it, Jesus tells us. And the third thing is really where the heart of this parable is all about. Comfort in earthly stuff. The rich guy that Jesus uses as an example in this parable is not what you may think it is. See, this guy, we get no clue that this guy got this money in a sinful manner. It looks like he worked hard. He did it great with his crops, and he was very lucrative, and he was getting a lot of stuff, and he was just working hard and got a lot of money. That's not the point of this parable. There's nothing wrong with having money. The rich farmer is a fool because he is wealthy, is not because he is wealthy, or because he even saves for the future. Again, that's not the point of this parable. It's not wrong or bad to save for the future, which is what he was trying to do by building bigger barns and putting his stuff in them. That's not wrong. The problem is, it looks like this guy is only living for himself. He's being rich toward himself and not rich towards God or his neighbor. You know, this guy knew he had it made. He was set for the rest of his life. He retired. He was just going to eat, drink, and be merry. If you notice the title of my sermon, I have eat, drink, and be merry, question mark. Is it wrong to eat, drink, and be merry? No, it's not. In fact, we're going to be eating, drinking, and being merry after church. We're going to be celebrating together as a family of God. In fact, God had his people in the Old Testament have all kinds of celebrations to remember, to get them to remember the good things that he had done for them, all the blessings that he had done for them. There's nothing wrong with that. But like everything that this world has to offer, every single thing, it's when we start putting our trust and our comfort and find our security in this earthly stuff, that's where the problem comes in. We're heading down the wrong path when we are finding comfort in how much money we have. We can retire early. We have a great job. We're making good money. We can buy stuff. If we're finding comfort in that, finding our security in that, trusting in that, that's the problem of this rich guy in this parable and why God calls him fool. I want to be clear here. God does not condemn earthly wealth. In fact, he's blessed many of us with earthly wealth, right? Especially here in America, we have all kinds of blessings that people in other countries don't have. That's not what God is condemning. He is condemning us trusting in these earthly things to give us, to deliver something to us that only God can really give us. You know, a few weeks ago I told you about giving sermons, you know, and I've been doing it now just for 2 years. And I still get terrified and nervous every week, by the way. And I learned in the seminary, in my seminary classes, that a good sermon, a proper sermon, you should have a steady balance of law and gospel. You never want to have a sermon with all law. And then we get to a text like today. Does anybody see any gospel in this text? There's not a whole lot of gospel, is there? So when we look at the Bible, there's two main doctrines in the Bible, law and gospel. Jesus is laying down the law here hard. And I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but when I read this text, I am cut down. I realize where I fall short in so many areas where I'm focusing on earthly stuff and trusting in that stuff. Can anybody identify that? Did this text convict you? See, that's the purpose of the law, is to show us our sin. And so where is the gospel? The theme of the day is money and stuff and priorities. But it's what I love about the Bible. There's always a big but. I love saying that. But Jesus has given us numerous blessings. And you know what? He gave them all to us at no cost. It's called grace. It's the gospel. We have all these blessings because of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I have a picture here. As I read through some things that I wrote down here, I want you to focus on this picture. You know, sometimes death can be scary, right? Well, Jesus has eternal life, and he won it for us by going to the cross. Sometimes we are burdened by our sin. When we look in the mirror and see our sin, we're burdened by it. He died for every single sin. There's not one sin committed in this world that Jesus did not die for. Don't let anybody ever tell you differently. He shares his very body and blood in this meal that we will participate in. Another blessing. Sometimes we are consumed with fear and anxiety and worry and He wants us to bring all of our anxieties and worries to Him. He tells us to do so. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Sometimes we feel lonely. He promised to be with us always to the end of the age. And Jesus keeps His promises, every single one of them. Whereas people will let us down here on earth, we've all been let down by friends, neighbors, family. He's never going to let you down because He's always with you. Sometimes we are just sick of this world and all the junk, right? He has a place with your name on it in heaven where there will be eternal joy and happiness. Can you imagine that? Sometimes we are tempted to make our identity and our about how much money we have or what kind of stuff we have or this or that. He has given you your true identity. You are a child of God through the waters of baptism. You are His. That is your true identity. Our identity is in Christ, not in anything else. And you know what? After looking at all these blessings that Jesus has won for us at no cost to us, we don't have to do anything to receive these blessings. Looking at all these lists of blessings, wouldn't you agree that we definitely need a bigger barn? That we can't just leave in the barn, but to share it with others, right? Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we truly thank You for all of the blessings that we have because of what Jesus did for us. We thank You for grace. Thank You for not holding our sins against us. Please forgive us, though, for those times that we do put our trust in earthly stuff. Help us to resist the temptation to do that and to keep our focus on You, fixing our eyes on You always, keeping You number one on the priority list. Please help us to always do that. And Father, we truly thank You for the blessings You have bestowed upon us here at Promise. And as we celebrate here in a little while, all glory and honor is to You. And we thank You for the 25 years that You have blessed Promise with. And help us to always keep our priorities straight in that. And when we are thinking about what to do here at Promise and as we move forward in the next 25 years. And Father, we ask that You be with all those that are hurting and ailing in different ways, whether it's spiritually, mentally, physically. Please be with them. Remind them that You are always with them to the end of the age. And we now pray the prayer that Jesus Himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven.